Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
The FDA has come out fast tracking several of these new vaccine studies recently. You know, basically they're throwing out the standards of approval and scientific study that's been in place for decades. Is this a case of, well, we need it now, so we're just throwing out the book and running it ourselves from our desk? I mean, that sounds terrible.
Bill Gates has gone on record as being wanting depopulation, and he's also wanting vaccines. So, you know, if he really wants to help the poor people in Africa not to have so many children, he should give them condoms, not vaccinations.
Yeah.
You know, it's the logic is not there. They're using stuff as a ruse or a smokescreen for what they're really after. And it's the world control, and we are playing in bed with the World Health Organization and FEMA and the National Security Council and the CIA behind what's all going on in this country. It's really not good. It's the deep state that Trump can't get at. And because, to be honest with you, let me just say this: that the UN is the vehicle for control of the world, in my opinion. It's really prophecy in Revelation 13. Let me back up and say, even before we get there, you know, Christ, when he was asked about the end of the world, he said to understand the book of Daniel. That's in Matthew 24, verse 15. And the book of Daniel shows the kingdoms of this world, like Babylon, Medo Persia, Greece, and Rome. That was in the image of Daniel 2, but it's also expanded in Daniel 7 with four beasts, beasts of prey. Governments are like beasts of prey. And you have a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a dragon-like beast. And out of that fourth beast of the dragon grew 10 horns. By the way, these four beasts represented the four kingdoms: Babylon, Medo Persia, Greece, or Rome. Rome was the fourth beast, the dragon. Out of it grew 10 horns. Well, there were 10, as Rome broke up, there were 10 tribes that roamed Europe. You know, there were the Huns, the Franks, Franks is France, Huns, Germany, Anglo-Saxons, England, you know, Ostrogoths, Austria. But in Rome, there was a little horn that grew and became very great. Well, and it was different from the others. Well, the Vatican is different because it's religious. It says bad things about that little horn, really. In Daniel 7:21, it made war with the saints. Well, 50 to 100 million Protestant Christians were martyred over the Dark Ages, burned at the stake or stretched on the rack, pulled apart. Not good, not good, you know. And I just say, this is not against honest Christian people. I would say there are probably more honest, good Christians in the Catholic faith today than any other, because there are so many of them. Yeah. But it comes, you know, God says in times of ignorance, he winks. And as people try to live well and do the best they know, God will save them as they follow the light, you know. And this is not against, and I have some good Catholic friend and even relatives. But I just say that as a church, it does not teach the Bible. You know, in fact, the Pope said it's a very dangerous book. Why? Because it exposes him, basically, as a man of sin. You know, in Revelation 17 chapter, there are about a half a dozen clues that can only fit the Pope and the papacy. It's sitting on seven hills. Rome is known as the city of seven hills. Yep. It's riding a beast of new world order. Well, the Pope is going to do that. He's going to, that's his road. There are so many Catholic countries in Latin America and in around the world. And by the way, it doesn't have to be Roman Catholic. Catholic, little c, can mean universal. They just want to go along, get along, just be, do whatever. You know, if homosexuality, if they're doing, that's okay, that's okay. Well, no, not okay, according to the Bible, you know. I just say, what's wrong with these people that don't read the Bible? They, you know, ultimately, I'm seeing the end time is going to force people one way or the other. If middle ground is disappearing, you're going to either run toward God and the Bible, or you're going to run away from God and do your own thing, and lots of luck, but it's going to be hot later.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And, you know, there's some people that are thinking that, you know, this is the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. I don't think we're in that right now. And just
I agree.
These are just
and let me
the
give
birth
you why.
Pains that Jesus talked about. So how do you view all that right now?
Good. I'm glad you asked. And let's change the subject to that right now. Okay. I believe that it says in Isaiah 4, by the way, I'm giving text for what I say, so the people can look it up if they want. Isaiah 46:10 says God declares the end from the beginning. So if you go to the book of beginnings, Genesis, in the 41st chapter, you find that Pharaoh had a couple dreams. And it was about seven fat cows and then seven lean cows and seven fat heads of corn, then seven lean. And Joseph interpreted the dream. We're going to have 7 good years, but then it's going to be famine, and we need to save it up. And Pharaoh said, you're the man, you're vice, whatever, you know, the second man in command, and he saved Egypt, basically. Yeah. But the point is, I think when Trump was elected, we started the good years. The economy turned good, and we are, I think, in the middle of it. I know it looks right now bad for what's happening, but I think the economy somehow is going to still be there for us for a few more years. And I want to give you the big picture. the word jubilee comes out of the Bible, and I believe that there. The devil has a jubilee system as well, and I'm going to start with Roe v. Wade in 1973. If you take that as a starting point and then start counting after that, it says in Leviticus 25th chapter where jubilee is, it says you will number or count seven Sabbaths of years. Seven Sabbaths. The Sabbath was the seventh day or seventh year. They rested the land every seventh year, supposedly. But after seven Sabbaths, there was jubilee in the 50th year. Okay, and in the 50th year, if they had sold their land or traded it or become in debt, the debts were canceled. The land came back to your family. You couldn't impoverish your kids forever. It would come back to family ownership in the jubilee year. See, so and the big events happened in Bible times, like when they were in Persia in captivity and exile. Artaxerxes the king made a decree in 457 to free the Israel, let them go back to Jerusalem. They got their land back. They got their freedom. It was a jubilee year, and it was the start of the 77s in Daniel 9. The most famous time prophecy in the Bible is Daniel 9, 24 and 5, 70 weeks determined. Well, 70 times 7 is 490, and basically those jubilees came the jubilee came every 49 years, so 490 years was 10, and it started with that decree. My point is, we think jubilee is 50 years apart, but 50 was number one of the next. So 50 was also number one. They came 49 years. And now my point is, I'm going to go every seven, starting from 1973, Roe v. Wade. A week later, adding seven to it, is 1980. A sign of the times when a dark day occurred with Mount St. Helens eruption, actually the day before, but the wind carried the ash over three states, and it was a darkened day in the Northwest in 1980 on May 19. My point is, May 19 was 200th anniversary of a real dark day in New England, and you can Google this, the dark day, Google. New Englanders thought it was the end of the world because at noontime they needed a lamp to read their newspaper. It was that dark. Yes, it was. The cattle came in, the chickens came to roost, so on. Dark day, sign of what they thought the day of the Lord. Well, it was just an interesting sign at that time, but it was repeated on the anniversary date, May 19, 1980, is my point, and it's the first of these weeks of years. Now, and the signs get bigger as I go forward. Add 7 to 1980, you get 1987, the Pope lands in Miami, kisses the ground, claiming this country for Catholicism, and he goes to Santa Fe and Los Angeles and Detroit. He went around our country like the Roman general went around Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Also in 1987 was a earthquake in Whittier, California, populated area, and a stock market crash of 500 points. It was the biggest stock market crash since way back in 1929 or whatever, you know, proportionately 500 points on October 19th. Then add seven more years to 1987, it's 1994. A million Protestant Tutsis were slaughtered in Rwanda. With so many UN vehicles around on the streets of Kigali, it was said if you spit, you'd hit one of those vehicles. But they all were ordered to stand down, don't do anything, let the local government handle it. Well, the local government was Catholic, and you know, this is a commentary on what's future for Protestants. If they want to protest, it's bad news. You know, the UN will not save this country. They will be part of its taking it apart. UN is not good, basically. It was should never have gone that way, but it was a way to ultimately help the Pope to New World Order, in my opinion. But add seven more years to 1994, and it's 2001, World Trade Center, big event, got us into war in Iraq, you know. We all recognize that as the sign of the times, and add seven more years, 2008. Well, Congress met and approved $760 billion in bailout, and we had a stock market crash for 10 days and a recession in starting in 2008. Add seven more years, and the Pope comes to Congress, you know, and the gay marriage in the Supreme Court was approved. Mark 13:14 says, when you see an abomination standing where it ought not, well, gay marriage had standing in the Supreme Court where it ought not, and the Pope was standing where he ought not in Congress, basically. Big signs, and that's the sixth sabbatical. So there's one more, and we're coming to 2022 before the Jubilee year, if we're counting from 73, okay? And the Jubilee would be the 50th or 23. I think huge events then, but and I don't know what's going to happen in 2022, but I am confident and believe that in 23, the day of the Lord, the end time will begin, and it begins with numerous texts showing an earthquake. It says that the Lord will roar, the heavens and earth will shake. It says in Isaiah 2, verse 12, it's the day of the Lord, verse 21. It's easy to remember, 12 and 21. You just turn those numbers around. Mm-hmm. It says God will shake terribly the earth. And I believe that we are headed right now. Still, it'll be economy good for a couple more years. But I think bad trouble is coming. And I believe that God has a plan. And my book, Health, Happiness, and Destiny, is the name of the website, but also the name of the book. You know, there's no "and" in the website. It's healthhappinessdestiny.com. That's the third column. It's had only 5-star reviews on Amazon, including a top 100 reviewers on Amazon, Dr. Grady, who gave it 5 stars, said highly recommended. So I just say, people will pay $10 for a pizza for their family, but this is a meal, a pizza for the mind, amen, basically.
Yeah. And so, the soul, anyway, mind and soul. Amen.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
Amen. You know, you're not the first person that I've interviewed that they've for whatever reason, they've targeted 2022. As something huge is going to take place. You know, you're like the third or fourth person I've talked to over the course of like the last year have all said something big is going to happen here in 2022 that's going to usher in the end times. So
I believe that it will usher, but I really believe the earthquake will be in 23. I could be wrong about that. Yeah. The clue, the heads-up sign that we can know is it was mentioned by Christ in Luke 21:20. He said, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, you know its desolation is nigh. Well, Jerusalem represented God's people. Yep. And we think we're a godly nation, but our desolation will be nigh when Jerusalem is compassed with armies. And I don't think it'll happen until 23. Now, if it happens in 22, get ready, you know, my opinion. But because of these seven sevens, every 7 years is a sign. The 49th year is, if you add from 2015, it's 22, it will be big. Just like the Pope's visit and so on, and maybe 9/11, or, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe, you know, a volcano in Wyoming or something. Who knows? You know, Yellowstone. But I can't say that. But I believe that the vision in Daniel 8, when Gabriel says this vision is at the time of the end, is about a goat that comes and flies from the west and clobbers a ram. Yeah. And it says the ram's horns are the kings of Media and Persia. Persia is Iran, and we haven't done it yet. We've done Iraq, Media, but we haven't done Iran. And something makes that goat angry to fly over there and do that. Yeah. And I think it is what Christ said, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, and he was citing Zechariah 14. It's the last chapter in Zechariah, which is the next to the last book in the Old Testament. If you have, last book is Malachi, you go to the first chapter, Malachi 1, and look across the page. You see Zechariah 14. Amen. All nations are going to be gathered against Jerusalem to battle. Yep. This is not when Rome did it in 70 A.D. It's all. I think it's all Muslim nations.
But Dr. Rulli, let's take a break right here again, because I want to be able to give some information on what your books and your websites and all that, and we'll take it up right there when we come back.
Okay.
Folks, we have never in my lifetime experienced anything, something as dramatic or drastic as this COVID-19 crisis. Prior to now, 9/11 was our major event, but the government did not shut people up inside their homes and shut down businesses nationwide, basically destroying the economy of the United States. They didn't shut up the churches and forbid people to worship. Folks, this is just the beginning. Scripture is very clear that this is just the beginning of sorrows. And believe me, once the government gets through this crisis and they go back and look at what happened and everything that they did, and they realize that they can actually stop the citizens of the United States from freedom to assemble and freedom to worship just by declaring a national emergency, well, you get the idea. Prophecy is being fulfilled right now, and many people don't even realize it. Now, go down to the links in the show notes and go to Dr. Ruling's websites. He's been on our program several times over the last few years discussing prophetic events. Today, he's opening up the links to his website so you can stay informed. Go to the links in the show notes, make yourself familiar with all of the available information he's put together for you on those websites. Matter of fact, order one or two of his books. Be a source of inspiration and encouragement and information to others instead of just repeating the same information being shared by the government through their media outlets. Click on those links today.
And we're back now with Dr. Richard Rulings. We're discussing Bible prophecy in the end times as it relates to what is happening in the world, not just the United States, but in the world right now. Dr. Ruling, you've been sharing some interesting things with, you know, the 7 years, the seven sevens, and how all that started. You tracked back to 1973, and you're bringing it up to 2022 is the next year of the sevens. And with the Jubilee, you got the 7 years of seven, but then the 50th year is the Jubilee, right? Where
that's right.
And we were just discussing about something's going to upset Iran and the ram and all that's going to happen. I want you to go back into that discussion. But if this happened in 2023, that would actually be the Jubilee year. So it would make sense that the Lord would supernaturally deliver Israel, just like the Bible says, by wiping out all the armies that are surrounding them in just one stroke. I mean, would fit with what you're saying, right?
Let me give you my scenario. And by the way, I want to say this, that the Bible is said to be the good news, but through history, it's always been good news, bad news. In Noah's time, there was bad news. There's a flood coming. The good news is I got a boat. But you have to have faith to believe in the good news, you know. And they said, "Oh, that's crazy! It's never rained before," you know. But you know, God has a way of surprising us with stuff. And when they came to Egypt, you know, it was again good news, bad news. The bad news was that Egypt is going to be falling apart, but the good news is I got a promised land, you know. Yep. And but even after they got out of Egypt, they heard there were giants there. All of a sudden, their faith failed them. They didn't have faith, and they said, "Oh, we don't want to go where the giants are." You know. Mm-hmm. And so, bottom line, it took faith. And, you know, Caleb and Joshua had the faith. They said, "We can do this. God's done mighty things for us." Well, I think we laugh at Israel way back then, but God is going to give us a chance, okay?
Yeah,
we're going to have to demonstrate faith, but I'm seeing God has a plan, but I want to take you and walk you through it, basically, with the sign for the end times being when Jerusalem is compassed with armies, Jerusalem being God's people, and when we see over there Jerusalem compassed with armies, it's Zechariah 14, and I'm going to quote verse 1 and 2. It says, the day of the Lord comes, and all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem to battle. The houses will be rifled, the women ravished, half the city will go into captivity. Then the Lord will go forth to fight against those nations. And here's what I believe. I believe that will happen at Passover time in the spring, like when Titus came in 70 A.D. He came at Passover when the city was invested with a million Jews, probably. Well, I believe that, and by the way, we might wonder, why would God allow that when it's God's people? Well, the truth is, if you talk to a Messianic rabbi today, and I have a couple friends that are, it's not a good situation over there. There is, they have homosexuality. 90%, I was told by this one rabbi, have no interest in their spiritual heritage. They're just there for the land, you know. And 8% are Orthodox Jews who hate Christians. They spit on the name of Christ. So, good. And I'm seeing that this disciplinary action of Jerusalem compassed with armies is going to drive out the people that are not interested. And you will have to have faith after that to want to go back over there, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing that the New Covenant promise has the context of God bringing us to the land of the covenant. It says, I'll give it to you first, and I'm going to quote the scriptures. People can look it up in the Bible. And my favorite author, by the way, her last book, she titled was The Captivity and Restoration of Israel. Sadly, the church that I grew up in changed the title, so it masked the message. They changed the title of Prophets and Kings, not a good thing. Her title, The Captivity and Restoration of Israel, comes from Jeremiah 30, verse 3, and I'll quote it. "Lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, and cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers, and they shall possess it." And I need to explain here right now that I believe that Judah represents Jews who accept the Messiah, and Israel represents Christians who accept the Jewish laws, the Torah. It's not just Jewish laws. God gave them to his people. You know, what law do we want to break about lie, cheat, steal, kill, commit adultery, and so on? Those are all for happiness and for a better life. It's not just Jewish. You know, it's the Ten Commandments, but it also spells how to worship God in the first table of those stones. So we need to look a closer look at that somehow. But I'm seeing that law is good, and obedience to law brings life, health, happiness, destiny. You know, we might not understand it, but if you obey your parents, even if you don't know why, you know, when the kid says, "Why, mommy?" Well, because I'm the mommy. That's why. You know, it's God has the authority to do it.
Amen.
And sooner or later, it dawns on us that this is really good. It's a better life this way. You know. And you learn to trust God. If you fill in your crossword puzzle with God first, all the rest of the words will fit. You know,
That's right.
It won't fit if you do your own thing. Ultimately, it's going to end up. But human nature is to do our own thing, and later, anyway. So, getting back to this, I'm seeing that the end time will click in on one of God's appointed times, a Passover. Passover was a time of judgment for Egypt, and it was bad news for Egypt, but good news for Israel.
Yeah.
And they became his bride, and we say the bridegroom comes, but we're clueless as to how that we're going to get there, you know. Well, I'm seeing that it's going to be like that in a big event in the Jubilee year. It was Jubilee when they left and got their land from Egypt, and it will be Jubilee for us when a big event happens, and we have to be willing to leave. You know, the thing is that New World Order is not going to have the answers, and God's judgments will be on this land, and we're going to be seeing it fall apart, and the earthquake will be the big number one to say it's not going to be like it ever was, you know, anyway. So that's the picture, and I think we need to go in God's direction. The wedding parables have the answers, and but I want to make sure we've covered other things first before we get to the wedding parable.
Okay, all right. I just want to bring one thing out. Now,
sure.
With the nations surrounding Israel, that means Israel has done something that upset everybody. And with, you know, you mentioned that, you know, any good Jew is going to resist this vaccination stuff. And do you think it's possible that, you know, Israel said, we're not taking any vaccinations, we're not doing it, and then the world organization says, oh, you will take it, or we're coming in to take over the country because we're not having this? And it could be something like that.
I'm seeing what you're happening as God's people will say that, not the nation of Israel per se. In fact, I think some of them are already adopting vaccines or vaccinations. Mm. So I think what's over there now is going to get clean house and driven out of there. Oh, I failed to mention this. Okay. Let me back. I'm glad you brought this up. I'm seeing that at Passover time, there'll be a huge event of surrounding Jerusalem. But we, giving a biblical message, let me back up and say that in 1844, William Miller, a Baptist preacher, proclaimed, and about 50,000 followers gave two messages, time of judgment on this country. They thought they were going to be raptured to heaven, the bridegroom comes. Those were the two messages. Bridegroom comes. And a time of judgment. It's the first angel's message in Revelation 14, verse 7. Fear God, give glory to him, the time of his judgment. The Greek word for judgment is crisis, spelled with a K, but a crisis for this country, too. Around the world, actually, a world crisis will be coming as a result of this earthquake that I believe comes. When you see, let me back up, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, I think it's a signal for us to give those messages of impending judgment because of an earthquake, and the bridegroom comes not as a snatch to heaven, but as an opportunity for a covenant relationship. And the covenant really is about that land, the promised land over there, and the fact that God is going to gather us. And it says in Jeremiah 30, verse 3, I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah. Verse 11 says, I'm with you to save you, though I make a full end of all other nations. Well, I don't want to be here when the full end is made.
Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time again for today's portion of the interview with Dr. Richard Ruling. Today was part two of my three-part interview. And, folks, I am telling you, we are getting into the good stuff right now. You do not want to miss tomorrow's episode. We'll be talking about the New World Order and how all of this stuff that is happening with the COVID-19 virus and the worldwide pandemic, we have video evidence that there is no way the government response could be so detailed and so planned that this just happened on the fly. I mean, you will not believe the video that we have. Is, remember, if you want to get a preview of it, it's down below in the show notes. You want to click on it and check it out. It is, you will be totally amazed at what is actually happening that nobody is reporting on because it doesn't go with the narrative. You need to come back tomorrow. In the meantime, go down the show notes, click on Dr. Ruling's websites. It's chock full of information that you need in such a time as this. Till then, it's Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before.
Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.